Good morning to those of you here at South Campus. Good morning to those online. As I look around and see that we've got several empty seats, I'm going to declare this to be a support group for all of us that don't have campers. And we're going to just spend a little time together, you know, kind of commiserating with each other. But no, glad you're here. Glad you're here. Glad you're joining us online wherever you're joining us from. Glad you're here on this day. It's a holiday. It's a special day. It used to be my dad. I consider this his second favorite holiday of the year next to Thanksgiving. And on both of those, he liked them because of the gratitude he felt in his heart. In this day, he felt a gratitude to this country for the chance to be able to worship with freedom together. And you may be wondering, or you may have not thought about it too much, say, well, has there always been a holiday where you have hot dog eating contests and then shoot off fireworks at night? Did somebody come up with that idea years ago? I have no idea where that idea came from. But July 4th, 245 years ago, five men sat down and had written a document, 1,320 words. They brought it in, and it was presented to 51 other folks, and those 56 individuals signed it. It became known as the Declaration of Independence. It was a statement by those folks before this country was a country, declaring that a nation was going to be formed without any control by anyone, including England, and no dependence on anyone. We were going to be independent and free, stand on our own two feet. And even with the imperfections of that day and the days following, even with our mistakes and failures of the last 200 plus years, we still, as a nation, have that desire to be independent, to be free, to have no one else telling us what to do, no one else that we have to look to get the okay to do something. And that's okay as a nation, and better than okay. And I acknowledge and affirm anybody in this room, anybody with family that's got family not in this room that are serving this country, I acknowledge the sacrifice. I am thankful for the price that was paid for the freedom that we enjoy. And I say all that so you don't get offended at what I'm about to say next. Because regarding us individually and spiritually, check this out. God never created you and I to be independent from Him. Our desire as a nation to be independent should not be confused with what God's desires, I'll show you in just a minute, for us individually. God never in His heart hoped that you or I would get to the point to where if they just learn enough, they won't have to keep asking me for counsel. They'll know enough to make their own decisions. That's never been on the heart of God. God never once thought, if I could just grow them up to be strong enough, then they don't have to keep asking me to carry things. They can carry things on their own. God never had that desire on His heart. God never desired for you to become to where you say, don't worry, God, I don't need you. I've got it pretty good on my own, and if I don't, I can figure it out. So what was God's desire? God's desire is for you and I to be utterly and solely dependent on Him alone. Utterly and solely dependent on Him alone. And we're going to spend this message exploring that statement. And in just a moment, I'll show you a quote from a man named Hudson Taylor, a name you may not be familiar with. Hudson Taylor was a man that lived generations ago. He lived in England. God gave him a heart for the nation of China, and he traveled by boat multiple times from England to the other side of the world to China to reach those people for Christ. He raised up an organization. He prayed and recruited dozens and dozens of missionaries. He saw countless people in China come to Christ. And one of the features of their ministry and of their mission was when he would recruit them, he'd say, we're going to go do what we do. We're not going to raise funds. We're not going to tell anyone what we need. We're going to depend on God to know what we need and tell others so that then they can supply our needs, and it's through God and not through our persuasion. And here's his quote. God wants you to have something far better than gold. Man, that's a statement even years ago. You say, man, I wish I had a pocket full of money. He said, oh, no, no, God wants you to have more than that. And that is a helpless dependence on him so that he may have, see, when you utterly, helplessly, solely depend on him, he, God, may have the privilege and actually the right of supplying your needs day by day out of an unseen treasury. We're going to talk today about what it means to solely, completely, in this quote, utterly depend on God for everything, every day. And I was doing some reading this morning, and I found a couple of other quotes that I didn't get time to put in your notes, but let me just tell you a couple of things that Hudson Taylor said that just caught my heart. Maybe they'll catch yours. He said this, when I cannot read or think or even pray, I can still trust. You see, if we depend on God, it doesn't matter what other words lose their power in us, because we can still trust and depend on God. And then he says this, God mightily uses men and women who are weak enough and feeble enough to lean totally on him. And we're going to talk this morning about what it means to have what we'll call a declaration of dependence, of relying on God, trusting in God, leaning on God, admitting that we're utterly helpless. God has to do it all. If he doesn't come through, we're in big trouble. And we're going to read from Psalm 62. It's in your notes. We're going to read starting in verse 1. I'm using the English Standard Version today. If you've got a Bible, you're welcome to open it up. If you open your Bible, you'll find instructions at the beginning of the Psalms, usually. This Psalm says, it was written for the chief musician. That would be like the head of their worship department. Think in our terms of CJ. Now, side note, if you read it in your instructions in your Bible, it says that David's chief musician's name was Jeduthun, J-E-D-U-T-H-U-N. And I got to thinking, our worship leader's name is CJ. I wonder what the J stands for. Maybe it's Jeduthun. He's never told us. You can ask him later after the service. But we'll read starting in verse 1. And I want to show you some things from this passage today. For God alone, and I've underlined this, there's going to be four times in these eight verses where David uses a word. It's a two-letter word. In our transliteration, it would be with the letters A-K, a little word that means alone or only or solely or truly. But in this translation, usually it's alone. One time it's only. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. And why would he be shaken? Well, he tells us. He has a little conversation with some folks who were opposing him in that day. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? It's like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. The people opposing him didn't mind telling things that weren't true, especially about him. They bless with their mouths. They say something nice about me, but inwardly they curse. And then you'll read this word. You often read this in some of the Psalms. It says the word Selah, and it's the word. Most people believe it was a musical term written to the musicians saying, pause here, think about what we just said. So he says, pause here for a moment, and then he goes on. For God alone, there's our word again, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He, and here's the word only in the English Standard, but he alone is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. And he makes that statement again, I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And then again it says, Selah, take a moment. Think about what we just said, what we just sang. So God's desire today is for every one of us, no matter which campus we're at. We talked to the North, or the, I did it, the downtown campus people just a few moments ago. They're just finishing up their service. And whether you are at home or in a camper or at the beach or wherever you are, at grandma's, in the backyard, and you're joining us here, God's desire for you, God's desire for them, God's desire for us, each one of us, is to be solely, utterly, totally, continually dependent on him. And you say, hey, I'm a Christian. I depend on God. I've got to depend on God. If you think it's easy and it requires no effort on your part, you're missing it. Because there's a couple of tendencies you have that are enemies to depending on God. And I want to explore them here for just a moment. One of them is this. It's the enemy of independence. Independence in what? In here. In self. In you. You have a tendency to depend on you. I have a tendency to depend on me. It's a foolish dependency where I think I can handle things on my own. But it started early in life. I was not around. My daughter's in the crowd here, so that's an exception. She's the only one. I was not around when any of you were little kids growing up. But I will tell you this. There was a day, I didn't have to be there to hear it, to where your parents were helping you do something they'd helped you do in the past. Maybe it was to put on your shoes. Maybe it was to feed you something with a spoon. Maybe it was to pour you a drink or said, maybe it was to pick out your clothes for the day. Maybe it was something else. And I wasn't there, but I know what you said to them. At least at one point, you looked at them and said, I do it myself. Any of you got kids that you're raising now that they had that moment where you said, I do it, I'm seeing some head nods, myself. I watched a little guy out in the atrium between the services to where his sandal needed to be put on. His dad was trying to help him, and with that, he wasn't in for the message, but he got it. I do it myself. I do it myself. And that keeps on translating when they get older. You take them everywhere, but pretty soon you say, hey, I want to drive. You don't need to take me. I can drive. I do it myself. It becomes in so many ways, and there's a naturalness to that physically, but spiritually, every time we rely on ourselves and every time we tell God, I don't need to have your help because I've got this, every time we do that, we are fighting against our need to depend on God. And then the other one is other dependence, where we depend on God, but we have something else that we keep just in case. Just in case. I've gotten more familiar with this in the last couple of months. Our daughter's sitting over there. She's got her crutch is two seats down from my wife. And she uses it. She's wearing a boot, tore a ligament in her ankle, and has been hampered in walking for the last period of time. And so she uses this to get around. And I am not diminishing that for her or for Kim, who works here, who's been laid up for 2.5 months. I've seen her with one of those or with the cart or for any of you that use a walker or a crutch. I'm not at all saying anything to you about canes or anything like that. Physically, you need that. maybe temporarily, maybe long term, because you say, I can't walk by myself, I've got to have this. But spiritually, sometimes we say, you know what, I depend on God, but it's good that I've got that job too. Because if I lost that job, I don't know if God can take care of me if I've got the job, but if I don't have the job, I'm not so sure. Or God can take care of me as long as that person's in my life, but if they're gone, I might be in trouble. We want to have something else besides God. Our son, Lisa and I's son, when he was about 11, came with me one night, came down here on a Friday night. We had a Christian comedian that performed from this stage. House was full, great time. Get in the car to come home, and our son Ryan's talking to me, and Ryan says, Dad, I think when I grow up, I want to be a comedian. And I said, son, you've been telling me for the last 2 or 3 years you're going to be a chef. Now, which is it, chef or comedian? And he said, actually, I think it's good to have a backup plan. And some of you spiritually want to have a backup plan. Just in case God doesn't come through, I'd better keep that bank account as full as I can. Just in case God doesn't come through, I'd better take this step or that step. Just in case God doesn't come through, I'd better stay in good shape with this individual or this thing or whatever it is. And then what happens when your world falls apart and your crutch is gone? You say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And I read a quote this week and I loved it. It says this: when things are falling apart for you, know that they're falling in place for God. Don't you love that? God, what, you realize that that's gone. What am I going to do now? And God says, oh, we're in good shape. It's gone, but I'm still here. And you can depend on me. And actually, with that crutch gone, you can depend on me better than you could when that crutch was in place. God works and desires that you and I am totally, utterly, solely, fully, continually dependent on him. And we're going to talk a little bit as we close this message as to how. How does that happen? How do you fully depend on God? Steps to dependence, let's try one of these. Be still. David spoke to his soul and said, be still. Be silent. Wait in silence. I would challenge you to spend some time on this holiday just considering how seldom you are ever totally still and waiting. David says to his soul, look, there may be other people that they're not worth waiting on, but I'm depending on God, and so we can wait on him, and he's worth waiting on until he says something to us. That's where our salvation comes from, he says. So we have to wait in silence, with no stimulus, with no noise, with no other inputs, totally being where you are and totally waiting on him. And you notice what he said? He's speaking to the soul, the inner being that we have. Because sometimes you can be waiting on that. You can be sitting in this service right now. You can be listening to this message. You can be wherever you are listening to the message. And if we're looking and say, hey, they're watching the service, they're listening to the message, or they're sitting in this room, hey, they're looking at the preacher, they're listening. And you can be looking on the outside. Your soul can be different on the inside. Let me illustrate it this way. This is a permission to participate. How many of you are a parent that has or is currently raising a child that is sometimes defiant? Raise your hand. Okay. Careful, don't stretch your hand too far out there. Okay. Some of you are gonna injure yourself there. So okay, let's try this question. How many of you, your parent, raised a sometimes defiant child? Your parent did. Okay, lots of a whole row of them down here, right? Lots of them. And how many of you, you were the defiant child? Raise your hand. Yes, I get two hands. Yes, yes, okay. Yep, okay. Heard this story about a mom raising a defiant child where the child kept defying her, wouldn't do what she wanted. Finally, she resorted to her timeout method. She comes over and places a stool right in the corner, and she tells him, you get on that stool, put your nose in that corner, you're going to be in timeout for 5 minutes. And the little guy, in his last act of defiance, says, I am not going to sit on that stool. And the mom physically grabs his shoulders, walks him over, sits him down, maybe a little harder than she should, puts him on the stool and says, you stay there on that stool for the next 5 minutes. Walks a little farther back in the room, but close enough where she could still keep an eye on him and listen to him. And she was close enough to hear him mutter under his breath and say, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. And you may be still on the outside. And your soul is just everywhere on the inside. And for you and I to depend on God, we have to find a way to be still before him. And sometimes that means doing like David and saying, hey, soul, we're going to wait on him. I read this quote. I loved it. It says, the soul that is still can hear the footsteps of its coming salvation. Let me say that again. The soul that is still can hear the footsteps of their coming salvation. And sometimes we have way too much noise going on in our lives to realize that the God we depend on is about to come through for us. Second one is this. Own your faith. Own your faith. Was caught by this. David's use of this little word. It's my hope. Yeah, God's a God of hope. God provides hope, but it's my hope. It's my rock, my fortress, my salvation, my refuge. Luke has done such a wonderful job preaching to us the last 4 weeks, reminding us that the good news is that God chose us. That God says, I want him. I want all of him. I want her. I want all of her. I choose them. I want them to be mine. Depending on God requires you and I to respond by saying, as hard as it is for me to fathom, I have all of God. He has all of me, and I have all of him. So therefore, his hope is my hope. His strength is my strength. His salvation is my salvation. I don't have to borrow it from somebody else. I don't have to worry about and making sure that somebody else's faith is strong enough. I'm not going to live through their faith. I'm going to live through my faith. It is my God. It's my salvation. It's my refuge, my deliverance, my fortress. And that's not done in a selfish way. It's done in an ownership way. Because you will never depend on a God that is not fully yours. Third, check this out. You need to depend always. He says this, trust him at all times. People, trust him at all times. Some of you listening to this message, if life's going good, you're kind of listening with just about half an ear. Because you're like, yeah, it's good to depend on God. Really, life's pretty good. I don't have to. And some of you may be here and you say, boy, my life's falling apart. This was the exact message I needed to hear. I'm sure glad I'm here because I need to hear this right now. And we're sort of like it was when Lisa and I had the kids and they were younger at the age where you'd go to the park and there'd be times to where we'd be maybe with other adults, whatever else. You turn the kids loose. You stay at the picnic tables or at the chairs or wherever you are. And they go and they climb the trees and they do this and they go down the slides and all the play on all the stuff. And they just run and they don't need you. And then you hear a sound and say, uh-oh, I think that's one of ours. And one comes up and they've fallen, they've gotten an owie and their knee is scraped up or their elbow's bleeding or whatever else. And they would walk right past me to get mommy to kiss it because they do every time they ask dad to kiss it. I said, I ain't kissing it. So they just went on and went to the one that would kiss it. and they need help, need a little bit of reassurance, need the tears wiped, need a Band-Aid, need something done. And then they'd say, okay, I'm off. I don't need you anymore. And they'd run off, and then another one comes back, and they're in and out and in and out. They need us for a little bit, don't need us for a little bit. Need us for a little bit, don't need us for a little bit. For you to depend on God alone, solely, fully, you got to need him all the time. When I was growing up, I used to listen to my parents. I've had the privilege of listening to my grandparents, even my great-grandparents. They used to sing a song with the words that went like this. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee every hour, in joy or in pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. And then the chorus, I'd listen to my family sing this song before I knew how to sing it and mean it. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Every hour, every day, every moment, we need him. You remember last week when Luke ended the message challenging us to share the good news, to be others focused, to go to them, be like the one hunter coming to the other hunter and saying, I've found food. You remember that? If you depend on God, if you make a declaration of dependence, if you're able to trust him and relax for him to meet your needs, then a cool thing happens. I found this quote. Check this out. When you trust God is looking out for you, that's depending on him, then you can look out for others. Pressure's off. You don't have to worry about you. I don't have to worry about me because I'm depending on the God who never fails. I can therefore depend and look out for the needs of others. Last thing that David says. He says, don't hold back. Pour your heart out before him. Don't hold back. Pour your heart out before him. I think often our prayer life looks something like this. Here's God. And here's our heart. And we've got something that bubbles up inside of us to where we say, boy, I need God's help. Boy, I need him. I need God to come through. So we pour that prayer out. And we say, God, I'm counting on you for that. God, I need you for what I just talked to you about. God, mom's got a test coming up, and I need you to come through. And then the test goes well, and we go on, and everything else that's still in the bucket is there. And then maybe a period of time, and something else comes up, and we say, oh, I've got to go back. I've got to take that one to God. So we give him a little bit more, and we just keep pouring out just the crisis of the moment, just the time. But like the little kid at the park, we run on and do our thing, and we're carrying our heart. And David says, look, before you get silent before him, take and pour out your heart. Pour it all out. Don't stop. Even the stuff at the bottom, even the dregs, even the things that would bother you for anybody else to know, God can handle them. Pour them out. Empty your heart. Give it to God. And he can take it. And I'm telling you, if we're going to fully depend on God, we got to empty the bucket. You got to pour your heart out and then wait in silence, trusting that God, who is your rock, will come through again. David ended this particular section by stating this: God is a refuge for us. He is someone we can run to. He's someone we can count on. He's someone, when we run to him and he puts his arms around us, we're safe. He said he's a refuge, people, for us. And I'm challenging you on this holiday weekend. Lots of folks gone doing good stuff. No criticism of them. For those of us here, for those of you there, we're going to take a moment and on this Independence Day, make a declaration of dependence. Bow your heads with me. I don't know if you'll listen to God right now. I don't know what he may say for you to do. Maybe he'll put a finger on your tendency to independence. Maybe he'll put a finger on your reliance on some crutch in your life that's a substitute for depending fully on him. Maybe he'll challenge you to find a way on a regular basis to be silent before him. He may want to speak to you about owning your faith or depending on him at all times, or maybe what we covered at the end. He may just tell you, take what's in your heart and pour it out to God. So right now, in this moment, I urge you, listen to what he says and make your declaration of dependence by doing what God tells you to do. Take a moment right now. Declare your dependence on him. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have a desire for us to depend on you. We thank you that you are a faithful God who can be depended upon. We pray, walking from this place, we would determine more fully in our hearts to depend solely, totally, fully, completely, continually, and only on you. Help each of us in this room and each folks from the rooms that are joining us in, wherever they are, to do that very thing. We declare this, our dependence and our need of you, in Jesus' name. Amen.